I invite you tonight to turn with me in your Bibles to our scripture passage. Tonight we're going to look at a passage from 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to read the first 10 verses. Paul is writing to his spiritual son, Timothy. And he says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. Certain for Galatia and Titus for Dalmatia. So far the reading of God's word. Brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, I don't know if you've ever been in a setting like in a large city or someplace that's far away from home, and you're all by yourself, even though there's a lot of people around. Maybe you've experienced that sense of loneliness. I have. The feeling of being alone in a strange city, surrounded by many, many people, and yet no one knows you. It's an awful feeling of loneliness. Maybe you've experienced that perhaps in high school. Everyone has friends. You're in part of a student body, and they don't know you. And you could be very brave and you could say, well, I don't need other people to know me. It's okay if they don't call me, if they don't talk to me, that's just fine. They leave me alone, I'll leave them alone. But in the meantime, there's some kind of gnawing loneliness in your heart. That's lonely. And you know why you feel that? Because God did not create us to be alone. God made us to be social creatures. We belong to Him and we belong to each other. The Apostle Paul knew that very well. Paul was in prison when he wrote this second letter of Timothy. And the man was lonely. And Paul said to Timothy, Timothy is a young man, Paul said to him, please be diligent and come to me quickly. I need your help. I need your company. I cannot be alone because Demas has left me out of love for this present world. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. Come to me very quickly, says Paul to Timothy, because Demas has already left me. Why did Demas leave? Well, you can easily understand it. The company that Paul kept was not all that pleasant. Paul was always on the move. Paul was always challenging people. You never had a lot of rest with the Apostle Paul. There was always something going on, some kind of assignment. There was always a burden. And I can understand why people would leave Paul, because that got to be too much for them. They also left the Lord Jesus, as you recall. In fact, at one particular time when people were just walking away from Jesus, his disciples were walking away, and he said, "Now that they're all leaving me, are you going to leave me also?" And then it was one of the disciples, it was Peter, who said, "Lord, where else can we go? You have the words of eternal life." Paul's disciples were also leaving him, and that's to be understood. And yet there's something different about this leaving of Demas, and I want to consider that as we look at the heart of our text. There's something about this Demas. First of all, he was a co-worker with Paul. He was a member of that team. He was not just an ordinary follower of the gospel. He was not simply an ordinary friend of Paul. No, he was a co-worker, a fellow worker. And that's why it hurts so much to have him leave Paul. And secondly, the word that's used here, Demas has deserted me. That's the same word that the psalmist used in Psalm 22 when he wrote, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And that's the very same word that Jesus used on the cross of Calvary. My God, why have you deserted me?" When Paul said, "Demas has deserted me, has forsaken me out of love for this world," that's something that smells like hell. It smells like eternal desertion. There's some bad odor about that word. Demas has deserted, forsaken me. Why? Because he loves this world. Well, what's wrong with that? I hope you also love this world. I hope that none of you speaks in any kind of tones like, "I can no longer get anything out of this world, out of this life. It's all so drab to me. I don't like this world anymore. In fact, I'm thinking about ending it all because I just can't find any beauty in this life. There's nothing appealing in this life anymore." Now, I hope that none of you speaks that way, because the Lord Jesus talked about the world and he loved the world. He loved the flowers. He loved human relationships. He wept when his good friend Lazarus died. When he saw the beauty of the city of Jerusalem, all part of that world, all part of that beautiful cosmos which God had created, when he saw the beauty of that city, he openly wept and he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you as a hen gathers its chicks, but you would not." Jesus loved this world. God loved this world. I quote that text very often. "For God so loved this world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And I hope that all of you love this world, because this world is God's world. It's God's creation. This world with opportunities. This world with work, with play, with vacations, with flowers, with human relationships. This beautiful world that God has created. Love it, because God loves this world. And yet there is something wrong, something reprehensible about this leaving of Demas, because he loved this present world. Now please don't get the idea that the Apostle Paul is being left here because all of a sudden Demas became a student of life, and that he was saying, "Now I am so interested in my studies and I no longer have time for you, Paul." Don't ever get the idea here now, beloved, that all of a sudden Demas is somehow enchanted with the world of art or of the discoveries of science, and that he has to be involved with that, and he doesn't have time to be in that important relationship with Paul. because it is true that we ought to discover this world. And if Demas were to discover this world of art and science and everything else that goes on in this world, well, more power to him. But that was not his mistake. Or perhaps you say, Demas did something else. Perhaps Demas was one of those persons who was always on the straight and narrow, always listened to what the Apostle Paul said, and always wanted to say, now, what Paul is saying, that is what I must do for all of life. There is a whole lot of things in the world, however, that I have never lived, and I want some of those things. I have to find out what other things there are besides my relationship with Paul. There's that world of women, there's that world of drugs, there's that world of prostitution, there's that world of the quick buck. Who knows? And all of a sudden, it all looks so beautiful to Demas that he decided to leave him for this present world. No, I don't think that's the problem either. I can easily picture Demas as a man who left Paul and set out for the business world, maybe somewhere in Thessalonica. So what was wrong? But what does our text say of why he deserted Paul? And then we read that Demas left Paul out of love for this world. What does that really mean now? Is that necessarily a world of drugs or immorality? Is that necessarily a world of discovery about art and science and perhaps new love? Who knows? No, beloved. The world that's spoken of in our text is that now world, in contrast to the world of the future, so to speak. There's that now world in contrast to the world dominated by the kingdom of God. Demas was in love with the now world. You know what happened to Demas? He got so involved with his own world. He got so wrapped up with his own private business, whatever that was, that he finally said to himself, who wants to sacrifice all of their life long with this man Paul? Who wants to run around with that kind of straitjacket? It's not worth it to me. I have to find my own pleasures. I have to find my own self-fulfillment. I need something different than God's kingdom, God's world. I no longer need that world of the gospel. I don't need that preaching anymore. I no longer need the assignment to go out into the world and present the gospel. I need to find success. I have to find self-fulfillment. You know what happened to Demas? Demas lost his kingdom perspective. The words of Jesus, seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and then all the other things necessary for life will be yours as well. Those words became foreign and strange to Demas. There were so many opportunities, so many more choices, so many things that were so exciting. I'm going to go for those, thought Demas. But if I live this kingdom lifestyle, I'm going to be left out. I will not be part of the lifestyle of the rich and the famous. You see, that now world, our world, has much to offer, more even than the world that Demas was concerned about. That idea of self-fulfillment is so very prominent in our world today. We can go to school and we can become very secure in our position, and we can travel like no other generation before us. We have instant entertainment. We can get all worked up about things that we can have so quickly. We complain if we don't have the latest computer, that when you turn it on, it automatically throws you right into the programs you want. If you have to wait for dial-up, oh my, Oh, no, oh, that's just way back there. If we have to wait for the computer to turn on, I mean like 15 seconds, we need something different. We've got to have instant coffee. We've got to have instant cereal. We've got to have rapid shave. Well, some of us do, but there's other things we have to have that are just right now. It is so important that when we don't have it, we complain. We want instant money. We want instant drug-induced adjustments. We want instant success. The managers of our society have to see to it that things are made very easy. And you have a choice. You can have it immediately. That's our present world. And that present world is so very alluring. That present world is crying out, go for it. Have it immediately, because you can have it all at your fingertips. But do you know that that call of the gospel is not a call to success? I don't read anywhere in the Bible that Jesus calls us to success. The call of the gospel is not to success, but it's a call to sacrifice. The call of the gospel is a call to fight. The call of the gospel also today is a call to fight against the sin of success. While the whole world finds itself worshiping at the shrine of success, hey, if it's going to be, it's up to me. Make something of yourself. Depend on yourself. The call of the gospel, the call to be kingdom citizens, the call to live first of all for God, not first of all for myself, that call is a life of sacrifice. Does that irritate you? Does that make you nervous? When Jesus comes to you with that call tonight, young people, I ask for people to bear their cross. If any one of you is to follow me, he must deny himself, says Jesus, take up his cross and follow me. Does that irritate you? Does that make you nervous? Because today you can join that crowd so easily who want to find themselves, who want to look out only for themselves, who don't want to depend on anybody else but themselves. You see, that call of Jesus to take up your cross, that means a call to die. Not just simply that it's going to be tough. No, to take up your cross means you take it up to die. But that is so different than your culture. I've said before that only the live fish will swim against the stream. You are going to be called to swim against the current. But that means you have to do things that this society says are stupid. You're going to have to say to people, no, it's not that way. No, it's not by finding yourself that you come to a realization of what life is about. It's by knowing Jesus Christ and living for him. Oh, that's too much work. Does that following the Savior make you irritable? Well, then, I got to tell you that if that's the case, then you are already packing your bags for Thessalonica. If you are so engrossed in the instant, in the self-centered world, if we're so engrossed with our families, our businesses, our fun, our world, so that prayer somehow goes on the back burner, that the Word of God is seldom opened, if ever, then we are like Demas. And we are packing our bags for Thessalonica. That's why tonight it's a very serious warning. God is saying to every one of us, listen, You are a people who is no longer going to be conformed to the pattern of this world. You are going to be renewed by the renewing of your minds. You stand for something. God is your master. Jesus is your king. And you are called to follow him. And you're going to have goals that are entirely different than what society says your goals ought to be. And the moment you stand for something, the moment you proclaim, not only with your words, but also with your deeds, that your actions demonstrate to this world that Jesus is King, then there's going to be immediate reactions. There's going to be horrendous reactions, evil reactions in your life, because the devil does not want you to stand for something. And so there's going to be a fight, and that fight is not going to be against flesh and blood necessarily, but that fight is going to be against principalities and the powers of darkness. It's against your own flesh too, and the devil is in it, and the devil wants that fight because he wants you. And you know what the modern reaction is? Well, oftentimes the reaction is, and I'm sure you've thought about this too, why? The hassles. Just tune it out. I don't need to worry about it. Nobody checks up on my life. I can go home. I've got these cute little earbuds. You know, you can stick them in your ear. My son has a pair. He puts them in his ear. I say, "Hi, John." He walks right by. "Hi, John. Did you say something, Dad?" "Yes, I said something. I said hi." "Oh, hi." Plunks it right back in. I talked to him about that. I said, "There's a way to fix that. I think you can put them in water for a little while, and they'll work a whole lot better." But we do that. He doesn't mean to. I mean, he was busy with something and exercising and all. But we do that. We tune out parents. "What? Did you say something?" "Yeah." "Well, I didn't hear you the first two times you called me. I was just busy." The devil wants you to be distracted. The devil wants your time to be divided. He wants you to be out of focus. I can go and I can have beautiful music playing and just tune out the whole world. And God says, "Now wait a minute, I love this world. Don't pack your bags for Thessalonica. God has placed you in this world. And God has said to us, I love this world." God loves this world, people. He gave his one and only son for this world. God loves the world of human relationships. God loves you passionately. And God has said to you, "Now I have given you a place in this world as co-rulers with me. Now go for it. Don't be conformed to the evils of this world. Please don't imitate the evils of this world. Don't go for the cheap solutions. Don't go for the quick band-aids. But work hard at that kingdom style of living. Because you know that your pattern on this world is not what you see everybody else doing. But I've placed you here to transform this society, to bring healing, to place a signpost of justice and righteousness in this world. You are called to bring forth the beauty of Christ in every aspect, every part of this life." And that may seem a heavy burden at times. I heard a story once about a man walking through London on Christmas Eve, and he looked into this tiny little bungalow and he sees a single lady. She's been divorced. Her four children are all quarreling in the other room. And then he sees Jesus come down the street, and Jesus goes into that house. And the man figures that, well, Jesus will take those children on his lap and talk to each one of them. Jesus doesn't do that. he gets down on the floor and he plays with them and they start playing with him. And then he takes all the children up to the bedrooms upstairs and he tucks them all in at night and comes down to the kitchen and then sits down with the lady. And the lady hardly notices him. Why did he do this? Why did he have to leave me, she says, on Christmas Eve with all those grumbling relatives? Why did he have to leave me with these four children and I'm just all so lonely? And she keeps asking question after question as the Savior reaches across the table and takes her chin in his hands and lifts her eyes to see his. And the man who saw this vision said, I don't believe that Jesus ever answered a single one of her questions because all of her questions became irrelevant in his beauty. That's part of what it is to realize Jesus in our life. Is that how you see our ability to meet the challenges of life, by seeing the wonder and the beauty and the glory of Jesus in each moment? Or do we call it quits when it gets too bad and we just leave it? God is warning us tonight. He says, don't be like that Demas. Don't pack your bags for Thessalonica. And I ask myself sometimes, how did Demas fare in society? This man who loved this present world, who got so wrapped up in that secular lifestyle, apart from the claims of the kingdom of God, a man who lived so thoroughly for himself that he no longer wanted to live with Paul and make those sacrifices. Undoubtedly, he became very bored because people of God, you look at this age and you think, well, look at all the fancy things going on. Do you not see the boredom of this age? Do you not see the horrendous plastic in all the surroundings, the coldness, the grayness that drives people in society to despair? But when you get that life without God, when you simply want to live for yourself, then your world is going to become smaller and smaller day by day. How did this man fare as he went to Thessalonica? Well, I don't know. He might have been a very nominal Christian. He might have been a successful artist or maybe a successful businessman, maybe a wonderful creative teacher. But without a kingdom perspective, perhaps a very thin veneer of Christianity. Maybe he went to church once in a while. Maybe he even joined a small group there in Thessalonica. Who knows? But he was living without an eye for the kingdom and its demands. He was living, like I talked about with that prodigal son, away from God, away from the home, away from any knowledge of the Father. You see, if you don't live for God, you're going to fall into the trap of living for yourself. You're going to fall into the trap of boredom. And anything can happen to you. You can become a nominal Christian, or you might be a very strong opponent of the gospel. Anything can happen to you. Is there hope for Demas? Yes. Yes, because when Demas packed his bags for Thessalonica, he wasn't alone. There was someone who also packed bags with him, who followed him every step of the way, and who never left him alone. You know who that was? That was the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus followed Demas to Thessalonica. The Lord Jesus follows us every step of the way. He never leaves us alone. We may think that we turned our backs on God and that's all there is to it. We may become very secular. But he always comes after us. One person called him the hound of heaven. And undoubtedly the Christians in Thessalonica looked up Demas and said, "But Demas, you may not live that way. You must seek the kingdom of God first. All those other things will then be added to you, Demas, but if you don't, you will not have a joyful life. There won't be anything to it." Let's hope he listened to that. The question comes to us tonight, people, where are you headed? Where are you traveling? We all are traveling somewhere. Are you on that road to Thessalonica? Is that life that God has called you to in the kingdom of God, is that too hard? Is the road that leads to eternal life too narrow for you? I know it's so much easier to travel on that broad road. I've got a big truck, and sometimes we go through these little curves to get around something, and I just despise going through these little curves. Give me the wide open spaces so I can make a little bit of travel and without going over the back curb with my back wheel. I would rather not do that. I just want huge, wide passages. The road to eternal life is narrow. Does that mean I got to get rid of my truck? Well, no. Okay. Listen. Is that the road you're on? Always wanting the wide road that leads to destruction? I can handle it. And nobody's going to watch me too much. I can get by with it. I'm all by myself. Nobody's looking. You're wrong. You're dead wrong. The Lord Jesus is looking. You go on that narrow highway, or you're going to be on the broad road, and that leads to death. I have one challenge for you tonight, young and old. I have this challenge. Love this world in this way. See it as God's creation. Find your place in this world. Heed the call to seek first the kingdom of God and live an exciting life for Him. And He will give you the crown of everlasting life that will never fade away. So be it. And all God's people said, Lord Jesus, make it plain to us that if somehow we think that we're on a sketchy part of highway that we can get by with because nobody watches, we need to remember what Scripture says. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. We have so many choices in life. We have so many directions that we could take. Teach us to follow what your word teaches, that we may heed the call, take up our cross, and follow you. For in that way there is life, and we will have it then to the full. Hear our prayer, for we ask this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.